It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll learn about a group of historians at the University of Wisconsin who played a key role in saving works of art from Nazis during World War II, our very own group of Monuments Men.
Before that, we're talking about the news today that Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel announced plans to scale back the United States Army to its lowest number since World War II. He also plans to cut military pay and benefits to save on personnel costs.
Some analysts are saying this is the first Pentagon budget to aggressively dial back spending from levels established after the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks.
Here to put this news into context and talk about how the budget will be received in Congress is Mika Ouyang, director of the National Security Program for Third Way, a centrist think tank in Washington, D.C. Mika, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So as we mentioned earlier, analysts are saying this is the first Pentagon budget to dial back the increased military numbers the country has seen since 2001. How controversial is this proposal?
Well, elements of it are going to be very controversial, but the idea that the military is going to come down in size after we've wrapped up two wars is not that controversial.
So what part of it do you think people will be most concerned about, especially members of Congress who have to decide whether or not they give it the go-ahead?
I think that a lot of the proposals on personnel and compensation are going to be fairly controversial. And then for specific programs that are based in people's districts, those always provoke a fight from Congress.
So this proposal takes into account recent government austerity, and it also embraces President Barack Obama's promises to end our two big land wars, but neither of those things is particularly new. So why are we first seeing a budget like this now?
So the Pentagon is a very large bureaucracy, and they plan very far in advance, so it takes them a long time to react to world events. They just don't move quickly, so it's taken them a couple budget cycles to recognize that we are no longer in wartime. And so you're just seeing now a real reset of the force.
So you said making the Army smaller, scaling back the Army, is not something that you expect to be controversial. Why not?
Because the Army has increased in size to be able to accommodate the two wars that we have fought. The level will be the particular level will be a challenge for the military, and you will see some friction around specific units as they get cut. But the idea that overall it needs to come down, I think a lot of people understand that intellectually.
It does seem possible that a smaller army means increased casualties and also a longer road to success. So is the American public, and not to mention Congress, going to have trouble digesting that?
So the numbers themselves are a little misleading, because in addition to the reduction in the numbers, what you're seeing is a transformation in the kinds of ground forces that we have. There are a lot of people that are in the Army that are performing missions designed to fight the Cold War. They drive tanks. They are in missions that were designed to face the Soviet Union. Some of those things are going to go away, and in their place, you're seeing increases in the more modern, more agile forces that we have used to fight the war on terror. So you see increases in special forces. So overall, in terms of capability, we should come out of this more capable by reducing some of these legacy platforms.
And what about concerns that this could put the United States in a vulnerable position globally? Is any of that founded?
We are seeing for the first time the United States not really having a major security threat. We have a lot of small threats, and no one knows where the next threat is coming from. That uncertainty causes people some concern. But it's not like the Cold War, where we knew we were facing the Soviet Union, or even in the decade after 9/11, where we had an Al-Qaeda that was out there and constantly coming at us. Our government has done a very good job of taking down terrorist networks over the past 10 years. Now, that's not to say that that work is over completely, but the challenge is very different.
Now, you said one of the things that this budget proposal does is get rid of some antiquated parts of the military. You mentioned fighting Cold War tanks and things like that, and that now we are relying increasingly on technology. And you use the word agile. So can you describe what this new era of the United States military will look like?
So you're seeing a lot of shift into unmanned platforms, into drones that allow people who are sitting safely in the United States to be able to drop bombs on the battlefield thousands of miles away. You see precision munitions that allow people to fly high above the range of adversaries' air defenses and still be very precise about where they're hitting targets. And you see very capable, highly trained special operations ground forces who are able to go in and sneak into countries unbeknownst to the host nation, do what they need to do, and get out again.
So in that sense, you know, some people are worried about increased casualties, but maybe are we living in an era where there are it's going to be less necessity for boots on the ground and by necessity from there, casualties. Maybe we're entering an era of technological warfare.
It depends on what kind of adversaries we're facing, but certainly we have seen the rate of casualties go down in every conflict that the United States has fought. That's not to say that every casualty that we suffer is very serious and is a tragedy, but the numbers of people who died in World War II and in Vietnam, the rates are much lower in these conflicts today.
Well, let's get to another aspect of this. Limiting military pay raises as part of this, increasing the cost of health benefits and limiting housing options for soldiers. And this is something that you see as more controversial. Can you talk about what's happening with the benefits to the military in this budget?
Yeah, it's a real challenge for Secretary Hagel because the cost of benefits has increased dramatically in the 10 years since 9/11. Congress has rushed to take care of the troops, to raise their standard of living, to shift the cost that they had to bear. And even this actually even started in the 90s with some of the TRICARE benefits. There's real political reluctance to remove any of those benefits, but now the military cost per individual troop is so high that it's squeezing out some of their other priorities. So the people have become so expensive. It's like what we see in other industries. The people have become so expensive that they're having to make hard choices between the numbers of people that they want and the other things that they can do. Secretary Hagel's trying to make some incremental cost reductions, but even those are going to be a big political challenge.
And in terms of retirement, that remains untouched, is that right?
For now, Congress made an attempt to trim retirement costs earlier this year and almost immediately reversed themselves under pressure from military service organizations, people who represent military families and retirees.
Well, the National Guard Association is already circulating talking points to Congress members urging them to reject this proposal. How is it being received otherwise?
I think that a lot of members are very skeptical of any cuts to benefits for the troops. They feel like our service members have sacrificed and they are entitled to these benefits, and it's one of the ways that a grateful nation can say thank you. However, for the Pentagon budgeters, it just poses a real challenge for them.
Well, even if the Pentagon doesn't succeed in getting this proposal approved, what does it say, do you think, about how the United States military could look down the road and its role in future conflicts?
I think that what you're going to see is a smaller military, and what in part because of cost and in part because as they become more effective, you need fewer people to cover the same amount of ground. Now, when you're talking about warfare, a certain amount of, as they say, quantity has a quality all its own. You need a certain amount of force on the ground to do what you need to do, but it really depends on the mission.
Mika, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Mika Ouyang, director of the National Security Program for Third Way, a centrist think tank in Washington, D.C. She was with us to talk about the news that the 2015 Pentagon budget will shrink the U.S. Army to its lowest level since World War II.